Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 15. We're looking about abiding in Christ. And we want to go to John chapter 15. I didn't know about Bob's testimony of safety on the highway, but I had just this week read a testimony from a young pastor in Alberta, and he was also, this just happened on Thursday, he was traveling on the highway as well, and as he was traveling down the highway, there was a man tried to throw himself in front of my car. Thankfully, I was able to react quickly enough and stop before I hit him. I spun around my car and yelled at him. I asked him if he was all right and if he was trying to kill himself. Tragically, he told me he was. He told me his life was just so messed up. I warned him that if he died, he'd end up in hell. I told him there was so much more to live for. We agreed to talk in the parking lot just up ahead. I got to the parking lot and realized he didn't want to talk. He wanted me to leave him alone. I quickly spun around again and tried to stop him again. In the darkness, I heard a car swerve and the driver yell. This was his second and failed attempt. I got on the highway and couldn't see where he was. I laid on the horn to try and warn the next driver. It was too late. He jumped from the ditch and in front of a Tahoe. I didn't see the impact, but I heard it. He was airborne for about 40 feet. We stopped traffic and waited for the police. I was able to pray with the man who hit him. He asked us to pray for a gentleman by the name of Quinton. He's a police officer and was on his way home from his shift. Said, here's the crazy thing. There were several times I tried to leave town, but for some reason or another, I was unable to do it. God in his sovereign love wanted me to meet this man and try to reason with him. It was a divine appointment. God saw the desperate state of this now deceased man was in and sent me, a preacher, to be there to try and save him and warn him one last time. God is so good. Here is something to remember. God will not force any of us to do things we do not want to do. He gives us a free will. We choose, and when we choose, God respects that choice, but he loves us and is right there if we want him. Not only was I there for the now deceased man, but I was there to help Quinton and all the other men who arrived at the scene. I gave out 6 tracts and shared Christ. What an opportunity to minister. Christ is a sure foundation. He is a safe refuge and an anchor that is steady and sure when the waves wash over you. I'm so thankful I was there. Earlier in the evening, I was praying that God would give me a deeper love for people. This experience has given me more compassion for the hurting and the broken. I stood by his body and wept for souls. Oh, wow. So many people are on the edge of eternity. Edge of eternity. I know last Sunday morning, Brother Faringer preached out of Luke 16 there about hell. And, some people are almost, purposely trying to get there. They think there's no hope. Then I come to church and I see you and I say, you're God's hope on this earth. Let your light shine. We want to look tonight about abiding in Christ. We'll be abiding in prayer. Abiding in prayer. Again, here in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Ye shall ask what ye will. He wants us to pray. Let us pause for a moment. Heavenly Father, I ask for your Spirit's filling to help me to preach from your word. I think of this young preacher and his dramatic scene on the highway. Think of this man, Quentin, and the effect that that has to hit a person. It's very devastating. And we don't know this man who died. He has a family, I'm sure. He has people that love him, and how tragic that is. So, Lord, make us aware to those who are on the edge of eternity, and may we be a people who bring hope and the hope of Jesus Christ to others. We ask you to direct us in your word tonight, in Jesus' name, and amen. Good morning, Lord. I present myself to you today as a living sacrifice. I'm here to serve you and obey your orders. What would you like for me to do today? Imagine that become our daily prayer. I think for many of you it is. Lord, I want to know what you want me to do today. Now, we have some pretty good ideas as to what needs to be done every day. And sometimes my wife and I talk about this. And at the end of the day, she says, I don't have everything done. I say, I just move it over to tomorrow. I said, there's always more. Or sometimes my wife will ask me, did you get everything done? And I always say, no, but I got done what I got done. And it's, but often we'll find, does the Lord ever interrupt your schedule? Intervene and bring things about? Because he wants us to serve him. And what if every day you're re-enlisted in the service of the king, and we think about how our days would then operate? Of course, the company Nike, they came out with a slogan years ago, and that was, just do it. And I believe that this applies much to prayer. Our problem is not knowing how or needing more seminars, books, or organization. I believe it's just to pray. How many of you remember riding a bicycle or learning to skate? How did you get better at riding the bicycle? Not by staring at the bike, by riding, right? Next thing you know, did all of you have those coaster bikes when you went backwards that slammed on the brakes? Everybody had one of those, right? Oh, man, I don't know how tires lasted, right? Because next thing you know, you were sliding around corners, slamming on those brakes, doing jumps with your bike. What were you doing? You, just because you were doing it. Remember ice skating for the first time? How many times did you fall on your head? Or maybe that was just me, okay? But next thing you know, because you kept doing it, all of a sudden, you know, sometimes people will say, how can you skate on those little thin little tiny blades only that wide? Well, because you keep on doing it. And I believe that prayer is a lot like that. Not just because we do it, but it is a spiritual exercise, a spiritual discipline. And we just need to spend time there. And you know, there are lots of good books on prayer, lots of good things that we can study. But really, the biggest part of it is just doing it. And prayer is how we lay hold on the blessings and the power of God. Psalm 34 is my favorite psalm, but in verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So we have to, when we come to prayer, we have to ask ourselves, does my life more closely resemble crisis management mentality or prayer dependent mentality? And it's important. And I believe that many Christians are good at praying when others are around, but often don't have a personal private time with the Lord. That can happen. Praying for a meal can be almost effortless, but personal private prayer and abiding relationship can be a daunting task. And I'll just tell you this, prayer's work. It's work. When Jesus said to the disciples, what, can you not watch with me 1 hour? It's because they were physically tired. We know that from their lives at that time, but it's work. You might say, why? It's a pleasurable thing. It is. But that doesn't mean that it's minus the work. There's lots of work that we enjoy, and this is one that falls into that task. When we pray, we need to remember the love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish it. So tonight, this question, why do we pray? Talk to me tonight. Why do we pray? What are the reasons behind prayer? Someone would ask you, why do you pray? What would you say?
Communication. Relationship is not a one-way problem. You read God's word and you pray.
Okay. Communication, that's very good. Why else do we pray?
Concern for others.
That's right. Concern, compassion for others. Amen. That's good. Why else do we pray? Yes, Dan. We're commanded to do so. It's a good commandment. Amen. Why else? What else are you thinking of tonight? Why do we pray?
Jesus' solution.
Yes, he's the solution. Yeah, he's got the answer there. Amen. What other thoughts come to mind? I know nobody's going to, you know, pin you down tomorrow if you're walking down the street and say, hey, do you pray? Why do you pray? You know, but when you think about your spiritual life, you think about reasons, any other thoughts? Why do we pray? Why do we? Yeah, that's right. Repentance is there. Forgiveness of sins, that comes through prayer. So we see these are many. Yes. That's right. And we're going to need his help and his wisdom. So we're finding this. One of the things that we find whenever we start teaching or preaching on prayer is I don't know if anybody says, well, I pray enough. I don't know if that happens, okay? So sometimes people can come away feeling guilty. And I don't want you to come away feeling guilty. I want you to come away being encouraged to pray. It's not a matter of shaming people into, do you pray enough? You know, no, it's a matter of, it's a privilege to pray. And I need to look at it in the light that the Bible has for us. We find the preparation for prayer. How do we prepare? We know from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're given that little short verse, just a little sentence that says, pray without ceasing, right? So we know that not only do we have a responsibility, but I think in that verse, it's a privilege. To pray without ceasing shows us the privilege of prayer, that it can happen anytime. We're studying through Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah, when the king said, why are you so sad? And he said, I prayed to the Lord. What was he doing? He was praying without ceasing. Why? He was, I got this moment right now, Lord. I really need some help, right? We know from James 5:16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there's an effectual fervent prayer. And there are many times our hearts are burdened. We're preparing. Why are we preparing ourselves to pray? And it is fervent. In James 4:2, he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, he says, because ye ask not. Of course, he goes on to say, you just consume it upon your own lust. And that's not the preparation that we need. How do we prepare? First of all, we need to praise the Lord. There needs to be times where we just let the Lord know how much we appreciate him. We praise him. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what was the first phrase? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Found there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He was looking at who the Father is, recognizing his character, and that's giving praise to him. And, of course, this was to be a pattern of prayer, is what we call the Lord's Prayer, but not a repeated prayer. And sometimes people have said, well, they've removed the Lord's Prayer from so many things. Well, then it's just time for us to learn how to pray. God didn't say repeat a prayer over and over again like it's a mantra. You know, that's not the way that we pray, though we do pray consistently for people. I've mentioned this as I was growing up in our home. I remember praying for our grandparents. I remember praying for unsaved family. And we saw some of them come to know the Lord as their Savior. But I remember sometimes before bedtime, that's all I remember praying for. And it wasn't a lot and it wasn't long, but I remember it was very consistent that we were very, very concerned. And so again, it's not in a repeated prayer, but there's a pattern to this. We need to begin with the holiness of God with sincere praise. Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas end up in the Philippian jail. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And that always kind of catches me because they were not in a, I don't know how well I would sing after I had been beaten. I don't want to find out. I have a hard enough time singing after I have eaten, let alone been beaten. And they were in stocks, thrust into the inner prison. But it says, as they prayed and sang praises unto God, the prisoners heard them. And so we know that praising God is preparation for a successful prayer life. And what happened before the sun came up? The jailer got saved. His family gets saved. They're already saying, hey, we need to get baptized and identify with this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And they're already moving ahead. This is very important, praising the Lord. Second thing in preparation, which was mentioned, that's confess known sin. Part of the reason we pray is confession. And I believe that there needs to be a time, like the psalmist said, search me, O God, right? Psalm 66, 18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And you know, if I know that there's sin there, I need to deal with it. And I've heard people say, well, what if I don't know there's sin there? Ask the Lord. God doesn't play hide and seek. If I say, Lord, is there sin in my life? He's going to show me. Amen? That's what God does. If I, as a child, went to my earthly father and said, Dad, have I done something wrong? What's my dad going to say if I've done something wrong? Oh, no, don't worry about it. No, he's going to correct me. Now you look at a perfect heavenly father, and I go to him and I say, Lord, is there anything between you and me? Like the hymn writer wrote, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And so when we do that, God's going to show us. Why does he show us? He's not there to be mean. It's not going to wreck our lives. It's going to improve our lives. That there are times we can hide our sin from other people and even perhaps the world at large, but we know that we can never hide our sin from the Lord. Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're looking when we go to the Lord for cleansing. I want to be pure. I want to be clean. So not only confession of sin, but we also, another part of preparing for prayer is to exercise faith. To exercise faith. In Matthew 21:22, he says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. This is an exercise of faith. The word believe means to put your total confidence in the Lord. And faith is not telling God what to do. Faith believes God can do whatever he determines to do. Faith places total confidence in the power of God. And we're leaving it with him. Don't pray and then try to figure it out. We're really casting our care upon him, really bringing this to him. We're leaving it with him. And isn't it amazing in the ways that God answers prayer? And what happens? We come away strengthened in our faith. Another thing in preparation for prayer is to pray in Jesus' name. In John 14:13, Jesus said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, what's the purpose of praying in Jesus' name? You hear it so often, and we pray that way. At the end of praying, a lot of times we say, in Jesus' name, because we invoke the authority of God. And we often use the illustration, I know we don't write many checks anymore, but when you write a check, why do you sign your name at the bottom of it? You're giving your authority to the amount subscribed and the individual named. When I pray in Jesus' name, I'm using his authority to receive from God's hand my name petition. And so it's looking at God's authority for this. And I have to stop and think, sometimes we just tack it on the end, because it's a habit. So then I have to step back and say, Lord, help me with my habits. I'm doing this for the right reason, the right motive. Because really, Lord, as I'm praying for this, I'm asking for this in the name of the one who died on the cross. So you don't always have to say it exactly. You say, I got to say in Jesus' name. Well, why don't you tell God what you think of that name of Jesus? Why don't we tell God when we have time with him alone and say, Lord, it's in Jesus' name because he died on the cross for me. It's in Jesus' name because I know that it's his blood that covers. I'm praying for someone to be saved in Jesus' name because I want them to know that same Jesus Christ. So let's not just do it out of habit, but let us think and pause and say, why is it in his name? It is very good. And I've mentioned as well, pray persistently. We know from Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in that case, he says, we're praying for one another, and we're doing it with perseverance and supplication for one another. And this is very important. In Daniel chapter 10, we find that Daniel's prayer was actually heard on the first day, but the answer took 21 days to get to him because of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So we know that as he was praying in Daniel chapter 10, that really Satan is withstanding him. And we find there, he says, the answer is on the way, but it took 21 days to get to him. What is this showing us? It's showing us that we need to continue to be persistent in prayer. Now, we've mentioned already praying as to what is the Lord's will. Is it God's will for a person to be saved? We'd say in every situation, absolutely. Then I know that when I'm praying for someone to be saved, to come to the Lord, it's always His will. And I need to continue to persist. It's very important. We even find that during that time that Daniel prayed, he also mourned. That was part of his persistence in prayer. And he shows us here in John chapter 15, there in verse number 7, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So he's saying another thing about preparation of prayer is that my words need to be in you. And we notice the word if, he says there at the beginning of verse number 7. So it's signaling a conditional promise. If ye abide in me. And my words abide in you. So he's saying, if we are walking together in this, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Wow. So we know that there has to be an abiding with him. In his word. God is saying, if you're not listening to my word and try to ask me for something, your prayer is a mockery to me. We're abiding in him. So we can ask ourselves questions like, am I abiding with him now? Am I acknowledging his power and his presence? Am I praising his name? Have I confessed sin? Do I believe he can answer this prayer? Am I praying in Jesus' name consistently? Am I staying in the word of God faithfully? You say, well, that's a lot of preparation for prayer. But think about it. Who are we petitioning? The Almighty God. If I knew that I was going to have a conversation with, well, let's say the Prime Minister, would I prepare what I'm going to say? I think so. Because I'd have a big, long list. I'd say, I want to talk to you. No. But if we think of somebody that we would say is important, we would prepare ourselves. Now we have one who is the Almighty God, and I need to prepare myself. Now we can go to him anytime, and that's a wonderful thing, but there's a lot of time we're in prayer. I need to prepare. Not only the preparation, but what's the definition of prayer? We would know very simply, prayer is simply what? Asking. Matthew chapter 7:7-8. Ask, shall be given unto you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Kind of similar to that song that we sang this evening, right? And Tozer put it this way, W. Tozer said, we should examine our prayers every now and again to discover how much sincerity and spontaneity they possess. We should insist on keeping them simple, candid, fresh and original. And above all, we should never seek to induce holy emotions. I thought that was very interesting. Am I trying to induce holy emotions? What's he talking? Trying to work up something in prayer. No, it's been mentioned. It's asking, it's conversation, and this is very important. And then, of course, asking is subject to abiding in his will. This is very important for us. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, in 1 John 5:14. So, we must understand that sometimes God's grace to bear the burden is his will. Amen? I pray over something. And then I have to accept what it is that he has for me. Does sometimes God totally remove situation completely? Yes, he does. But I would say that with my walk with the Lord and the many that I've spoken to about this, most people would say that it's more like Paul in Corinthians there when he said, I prayed that this thorn in the flesh would be removed, but God said that his grace would be sufficient. And God takes us through things. Paul asked for it to be removed, but God knew better than that. It's kind of interesting because the Apostle Paul, he spoke in tongues. They had laid hands on people and healed them, had all kinds of sign gifts, but yet when it came to his own issues sometimes, God said, no, I want you to know that my grace is sufficient. We also must understand when we're in his abiding in his will that God will never contradict his word. Okay? God will not contradict his word. Sometimes you may hear someone and they'll say, well, this is what God wants me to do, and you know it's exactly contrary to what the Bible says. You know, there's times, I mean, there's sometimes you can talk directly to a person and tell them, hey, that is not the answer to prayer because that's contrary to the Bible. But if sometimes some people get so convinced this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, it's like they took the Bible and threw it away. And I've got this emotional response and I'm happy with what's going on. But no, it's not going to contradict his word. 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, we often apply that to marriage, but it's far, far greater than that. That's just one area. But a lot of times people are saying, hey, this works, I'm going to do it. But we know that's not God's will if it contradicts his word. That's just one area. And another thing, a third thing, we must never try to strike a deal with God. Okay? Do not try to strike a deal with God. God hears and answers because it is his will, not because I bargained for it. Lord, I'll serve you all the days of my life if you do this one thing. God says, you're supposed to serve me all the days of your life anyway. I'm paraphrasing, speaking for the Lord. But we're not trying to bargain with God. What are we doing? We're petitioning a heavenly Father. And do you think God enjoys answering prayer? What do you think? Sure he does. Now, we get pretty excited when God does answer prayer, especially in certain times or certain ways. Imagine how heaven must be. I think it's quite amazing. So we know that there is a not only a preparation for prayer, but then there's the definition of prayer. And then we see the manifestation of prayer in our lives. And it's manifested by God's intervention in human affairs. God's intervention in our human affairs. That we must truly believe that God is interested in our lives and the lives of those you are praying for. Think about that. God is the God who created everything, is interested in listening to you pray. And when you're praying for someone, he's interested in their life. That you and I, we must not limit God's intervention by figuring it all out by yourself. Now, God does give us a brain. Sometimes we pray and the Holy Spirit says, have you tried this? And it's like, oh, that could be the answer to prayer. Amen. Why didn't you think of this? And God does that. And then there's other times he intervenes in ways that are totally miraculous. And you say, there's no other way that we can call this except the Lord's intervention miraculously. And that comes by that avenue of prayer. We also know that answered prayer, it glorifies God. We mentioned that if we ask anything, Jesus said, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says that in John 14, 13. He said that, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we come and we say, wow, God answered this prayer, what are we saying? God is glorified. We're saying, I could do this. Look what God did. And it's wonderful. And sometimes, and I think we've all done it, we go into shock when God answers prayer. And we shouldn't if we truly ask believing, right? We've all done it. I've probably all done it before. Prayed for something, God answered, and somebody will say something like this, "Oh, I can't believe it." Well, that's not true. Because you asked God, and when he answered, you did believe it. Amen? So sometimes just our reactions are a little bit, shall we say, too human. And I have to come full circle and say, wait a minute. He answered prayer, and oh, I do believe it. Because I know who God is. I know his character. I know his power. I can see how he answers prayer. And our response should be one of thankfulness and giving glory. Giving the glory of it all to the Lord, of course. So, prayer is what began your relationship with Christ at the moment of your salvation. And prayer is the key that begins an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. So we want to be able to continue in prayer, have times of prayer. I hope that that prayer bulletin that I print out, hand out, you know that that's not inspired, right? It's just a list. It can help you. But I hope that that's not your only prayer list. Okay? It can be a guide. It's kind of like something to help you along. Maybe you say, I'm learning, you know, to get organized and pray for people. That can be a real help. Missionaries on there. Why? So that you can pray for them. For me, I need reminders of whom I'm praying for. Because, hey, life can get busy. Things get busy, and I need to remember people. So I want that to be an encouragement to you that that's not the only thing. And to remember, oh, somebody's name isn't on the prayer list. Well, we want to include everyone that we can. But I say sometimes that's why we give away pens at church. Just put them in there. Pray for them. Isn't that the most important thing? More important than having their name on a list is having you take their name to God in prayer. Keep it up. Keep it up. Yeah. True prayer is the living experience of the Holy Trinity, the Spirit's breathing, the Son's intercession, the Father's will. These three become one in us. The Spirit's breathing, the Son's intercession, and the Father's will. Continue in prayer. Abide in prayer. Like I said, no one's going to turn around and say, I'm doing enough praying. But Lord, lead me. Give me a compassion. When we really have a concern and compassion for people, doesn't it cause you to pray? I know it does me. Not every prayer is a spoken one to let other people know. Some things are very personal, aren't they? And you say, wow, that's, I can't really talk about that because it's just too hard for me. But keep on praying. Oh, Christian, keep on praying. Let us close in prayer. Father, I pray this be an encouragement. I don't believe it's so much a formula as it is the fact that you are a God in heaven who desires to hear us pray. Not that we're worthy, but because our Savior is. Help us to confess sin. Help us to keep things right. Help us to praise you and to keep the glory going back to you. And then would you hear from heaven and meet the needs of your people around this room tonight? Dozens, if not hundreds, of prayer needs. And we thank you that you're a great God who can hear them all. That when we pray, it's not some sort of babble to you. It's not confusion. Maybe sometimes we're confused and we don't always communicate it the way it should be, but we know then that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Oh, Lord, help us. That we just make that commitment to spend that time in prayer, that we would not forsake that, but that be precious. Father, that we truly see it's a privilege. We'd set aside maybe the idea of duty just to love you, spend time with you. For I ask this in Jesus' name, by his great grace, and amen.